Recently, a father was trying to take an afternoon nap on a Sunday afternoon in his living room, and his little boy kept bugging him over and over, saying, "Daddy, I'm so bored." Anybody relate to this? Anybody at all? Yeah, absolutely all of us. So his father is trying to make up a game for him to kind of keep him preoccupied for a little bit, and he found a picture of a globe in a magazine, kind of picture of the world, and he ripped it up into about 50 different pieces, and he said, "Son, this is a puzzle. I want you to put it back together." He then lay down again, trying to finish his nap, thinking he would probably get at least another hour or two sleep, right? However, in about 15 minutes, the little boy woke him up again. "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, I've got it finished. It's all done. It's all put together." "You're kidding," he said. He knew his son didn't know all the positions of all the countries and all the regions of the world. He knew he didn't know those things. So he said, "How did you do it, son? How did you put this all together so quickly?" He said, "Well, Dad, there was a picture of a person on the back page of that magazine, and when I got my person put together, the whole world looked just fine." Did you catch that? "When I got my whole person put together, the world looked just fine." Today we live in some surreal times. There's a lot of things that are just crazy. We're knee-deep in the midst of the coronavirus thing. We got still some of this social war going on in our culture. We've got the elections coming up, causing all sorts of weirdness. We've got the economy kind of teetering because of all the time we spent at home and not at work. We've got companies that have been laid off. We've got all sorts of stuff cruising in our society that just isn't the norm. And then we've got family issues, and we've got relational issues. We got health issues. We got all sorts of stuff that's just normal stuff that builds on top of all the craziness. And one of the things that we need to remember is we need to be able to get to a place where we can take a step back and re-remember who we are. Remember how God created us. Remember that He's there for us every step of the way. And so we're beginning today a new series that I'm calling The Road to Recovery. Because I think we need it. With all this weirdness and all this people just kind of freaking out, I think we're freaking out along with them. We've lost sight, lost perspective in different ways along this way. And we're dealing with the stresses, and we're dealing with the worries, and we're dealing with the frustrations. And so it's a series that I'm praying is going to work on you as your person, right? On you specifically. And that's the value, right, of listening to a sermon or digging into God's word. It's letting God talk to you first. Not to your neighbor, not to your relative, not to your husband, right? But to you first. Because it's truly amazing how much better the world looks when your person is put together in the right way. And so we're going to talk in this series about how do we handle and how do we overcome the hurts in our life or the habits that are messing up our life or the hang-ups that are causing pain in our life. In other words, our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups. Why? Because the fact is, life is just tough sometimes. Amen? Amen, right? We live in a very imperfect world. I think we see that every time we turn on the news. We're hurt by other people. We hurt ourselves. We even hurt other people in our lives by the things that we say, by the things that we do. And that's why the Bible says, all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, we're all messed up in different ways. And it just means this, that none of us are perfect. We've all blown it. We've all made mistakes in our life. And so you can know right from the beginning that this is a series that's for everybody. No matter where you come from, no matter who you are, we all need God's healing in our life because we're all hurting from something. Because everyone that is watching today needs recovery from something. So what do you need recovery from? I think the good news is that regardless of the problem that you need recovery from or the problem that you're struggling with or worried about, whether it's emotional or financial or relational or spiritual or sexual or whatever the deal, right? Regardless of what you need recovery from, the steps to recovery, God says, are always the same. And the first step is always the same too. The R in recovery just stands for realize. Realize what? That you're not God, that I'm not God, where I admit that I'm actually powerless to control my tendency to do wrong things and that my life is ultimately unmanageable. That should be pretty easy for us right now. Can you control the COVID thing that's going on in our society? Nope. Can you control the social war that's going on in our society? Nope. Can you control even your own family right now? Nope. Can you control yourself? No. But if you're still on the fence with this, let me do a quick quiz and ask you a few questions. Do you ever, let's say, stay up late when you know that you need sleep? Or do you ever drink or eat more calories than you know your body needs? Do you ever feel like you ought to exercise, but you just don't? Do you ever know the right thing to do, but you don't do it? Do you ever know something that's wrong, but you do it anyway? Have you ever known you should be unselfish, but you're selfish instead? Have you ever tried to control somebody or something and found that it was uncontrollable? Man, if the answer is yes to any of these questions, welcome to the human race, right? We all need recovery from something. And so what's the cause? What's the cause of the problem that we're struggling with? The Bible calls that tendency to do the wrong thing my sin nature. My sin nature gets me into all kinds of different problems. It just does. I do things that aren't good for me. I do them even when they're self-destructive. And then somehow I compound my life and I then don't do the things that are good for me. I respond in the wrong way when I'm hurt, and it just increases my hurt and the hurt of other people instead of lessening it. I react the wrong way to people. I treat them in the wrong ways, and then it backfires. And I guess what? I knew it was going to backfire, but I still did it anyway. I try to fix problems, and then oftentimes when I fix them, they're worse than when I started, which I think is ultimately what led Solomon to say this in Proverbs 14 one time. He said, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads only to death." Think about that for a bit. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads only to death. So here's the bad news. You will always have this sin nature with you, this desire to do the wrong thing. You're going to always have it with you until you get to heaven. And even after you become a Christian, you're still going to have these desires that pull you in the wrong way. I mean, Paul understood this in Romans 7:15. He said this. He says, "Man, I do not understand myself at all. For I really want to do what's right. I do, but I can't. I do what I don't want to do, but what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, but I can't seem to help myself. It's sin inside me that's stronger than I am that makes me do those evil things." Does this sound vaguely familiar to anybody? I end up doing what I don't want to do and end up not doing what I want to do. So the first step in recovery always is that you must understand the cause of this problem. Why does this happen in my life? I mean, what causes the problem, right? And the cause of all of your problems is simply this: I want to be God, right? If you think it, just take a step back for a second. If you sin, it's because you're abandoning God's way. God says, "I want you to do this. This is the safest way forward. This is the most blessed way forward. This is my way forward, and it's going to bless you abundantly in your life." And you say, "I don't know, I'm good. I'm going to try this thing over here. It looks more fun. It looks like it'd be better. It looks like it's, you know, it's my idea and I want to do it. I want to be God." I have a good friend named Mike. I talk about him from time to time. And, you know, we had a discussion one time and he said, "You know, it's not like I disagree with you at all and any of the things that you've been sharing about God." He says, "But I know that if I followed God, if I gave myself over to him, he'd be in control." He goes, "That terrifies me." And so the whole reason he doesn't come to faith in Jesus is because he wants to be in control. That's what he said. And so whenever we sin, it's an abandoning of his will and his way, God's way, and a pursuit of our own. Let me see if I can clarify this. Let me ask you this question. Would you like to decide what's right and what's wrong? Well, sure. You say, "I don't want anybody else telling me what's right and what's wrong. I mean, don't confuse me with the facts. I want to decide what's right and what's wrong." This is one of man's oldest problems. Even Adam and Eve had it in the garden, right? God put them in paradise, and what do? They tried to control paradise. God says you can do anything you want to do in the entire paradise except for one thing. There's only one thing. Just don't do the one thing. Don't eat from this certain tree. And what do? They made a beeline for that tree. The only thing in all of paradise, God says, was off limits. But Satan says, "Hey, eat this apple," or whatever it was, "and be gods." And that's been the problem from the very beginning. It's the problem in our society right now. I want to be God. I want to call the shots. I want to run my own life. We want to be in control. So how do we play God? By denying our humanity and trying to control everything for selfish reasons. I want to be at the center of my universe. Control is the real issue. I want to be in control. And we try to control ourselves and other people and everything around us. Unfortunately, that has consequences. If you're a control enthusiast like me, then you know it has consequences. So what are they? Well, there's actually three problems that always happen. I mean, always happen when I try to play God. First one is fear. When I try to control everything, I get afraid. Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. We're afraid, in other words, that somebody's going to find out who we really are, what we've really done, that we're fakes, that we're phony, that we don't really have it all together, that we're not perfect. And so I don't want to let anybody get too close to me because they'll find out I'm actually scared inside. And so we fake it and we pretend and we fill our lives with fear, afraid that somebody's going to reject us or not love us or not like us because they don't really know what I'm like. They only know an image of me. If they really knew what I was like, they wouldn't like me. And I resent that and I fear that. And we're filled with fear when we try to play God. When we try to play God, we're pretending that we can control all things and clearly we can't. And we get afraid. There's another one, and it's called frustration. Because it's frustrating trying to be the general manager of the universe and realizing that you don't have the power to do it. You know, I used to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Remember that good pizza place? Anyway, I used to play a game there with a mallet. And what you would do is you keep hitting down these things that would keep popping up. Hit one thing down, another thing would pop up. You hit that one down, another thing would pop up. And I just remember playing that one time and thinking, this is a pretty cool parable for life. Because it's frustrating sometimes, because every time you slam something down in your life, another one just seems to pop up. And so we whack down a compulsion here, and another one pops up. We whack down a problem over here, and another one pops up. We whack down a relational conflict, and another one pops up. It's so frustrating because you just can't get them all knocked down at the same time. You want to be God, you're trying to play God, but you just can't get them all knocked down. But you walk around pretending that you're God. I'm all powerful. I can handle anything. But if you're so powerful, why don't you just unplug the machine? I think Paul felt this way. He said this. He says, it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what's right, I inevitably do what's wrong. Something else deep within me, right, that war with my mind, that wins the fight, that makes me a slave to this sin. And so if you're frustrated, it's just a symptom of a deeper problem that you have in your life that you've got to deal with. And it's this. You're not God. And that's frustrating, especially when you got all these plans, especially when there's all these things that you want to do or fix. And then there's a third thing, too, that always happens when you play God. You get tired, fatigue, right? It's tiring playing God, trying to control everything, pretending that you've got it all together. I mean, denial takes a lot of energy. In Psalm 32, David said, my strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I think one of the healthiest things you can do in your life is really to have these short accounts with God, to confess to him, you know, let's say 10 sins a day, right? Confess to him those things. Let him forgive you. Let you hear those words. You are forgiven so that you can move past your past and get on with your future. That's why there's peace that comes through confession. Unfortunately, most people I know try to hide their pain and they run from their pain and their sin by keeping busy because we just think, you know, I don't like the way I feel when I slow down and I don't like the way it sounds when I slow down. I don't like the sounds that go through my mind when I lay my head back on my pillow. I don't like those feelings, those sounds, and so I'm just going to keep busy. So you run from the pain by constantly being on the go, working yourself to death, or maybe you get into a hobby or some other kind of sport and it becomes your compulsion. And it becomes an overwhelming compulsion where it's all you got on your mind, and becomes this beautiful distraction that keeps you from thinking about anything. And you're just hoping the whole time you'll be so tired that when you lay your head back on your pillow, you'll be so fatigued that you can go to sleep and you won't have to hear your pain anymore. But if that just described you, here's the question that I just asked this morning. What pain are you running from? What problem is it that you don't want to face up to that motivates you and drives you to work and to work so that you're in this constant state of fatigue? There is a cure to all this, you know. I mean, that's the beautiful part about God. He gives us the cure. He shares with us what the problems are, but also the cure. And he says the first step on this road to recovery is just to admit your powerlessness, to admit that you're not God. See, the Bible says that in admitting my weakness, in admitting my sin, I find strength, I find forgiveness. And this is not a popular idea today in America, especially our culture, which says raise yourself up by your own bootstraps, don't depend on anybody else, do the Lone Ranger thing. But I tell you what, this is essential. This is an essential first step to getting your act together. Admit that you're powerless to do it on your own, that you need other people, or at least that you need God. Because ultimately, good intentions are not enough. What's the old saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Willpower, not enough, or I wouldn't have this pooch on my stomach right now. The reality is you just need something more. You need a source of power that is beyond you. Guys, you need God because he made you to need him. In James 4:6, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Guys, grace is that power to change. Grace is the undeserved love of God, but it is also the power to change things in your life. Grace is the power that God gives me to make the changes in my life that I know I need to make, that I know he wants me to make, the power to change. And for you to recover from the hurts or the hang-ups or the hassles in your life right now, you need God's grace. So how do you get it? There's only one way. He only and always only gives it to the humble, to the repentant, to the ones that grieve over their own past mistakes and sins and who seek God with their life anew. So let me ask you, what needs changing in your life right now? I mean, what hurt or hang-up or habit have you been trying to ignore? For many of you, this step will be the hardest step of all. And I'm glad it's number one, right? Because when you get over this, when you get over this hump, and just learn to admit it. I have a problem. I have a need. I have a hurt, God. Man, you're halfway there because you now give God something to heal in your life. It's just so hard for so many of us to admit that because it's humbling. It truly is. It says, I'm not God. I don't have it all together. As much as I'd like to think, or at least everybody else to think that I do. It means being honest and facing a problem that you've wanted to ignore for a long time. My prayer is that if this has resonated with you this morning, that you would just join me over the next 8 weeks as we go through this road to freedom, this road to recovery. I think it has a lot of bearing on where we are right now as a culture, maybe a lot of bearing where you are right now. And I also think as you go through these steps, there's a lot of prescriptive stuff for our society too, if they would take it to heart. But just know that I'm praying for you, that I love you, and that God loves you even more. Go with this prayer today. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you just for being able to take a step back to, I don't know, begin at the beginning, Lord. To begin with the fact that we need you in our life, that we don't have it all together, that we don't have it under control, lest we were confused with all the stuff going on. But that you are there, and that you care about us, and that there is forgiveness, and that there is strength, and that there is hope through you. Father, especially, I guess, in the days ahead as we approach the election, as we deal with all this stuff, that you would just remind us of that simple truth. That you got us, that you love us, that you forgive us, and that we are yours. Father, help us work on our stuff for the next 8 weeks especially, and be with us in your power. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Guys, go with this blessing, and I'm so glad that you tuned in today. I pray that you go forward with all sorts of blessing, and so go with this blessing that God gave us. Actually, he gave it to Moses and Aaron to bless the people of Israel, and so I give it to you today to bless you in your lives. May our Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious always unto you. And may he look upon you now with his favor and grant you forever his peace. Guys, go in that peace today and serve your Lord always with joy. Amen. Amen.